Morning, James.
Good morning, Warren. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yesterday down the straight and had a good chat with Michael Falgate during the week about Home of the Brave. And you certainly mounted a good case that he was the right horse for the race yesterday. How did you assess his performance?
Well, I thought he performed very strongly. He, of course, hasn't won a race since winning his second start in Australian Shores in the Theo Marks. He's been competitive, though, and he's been thereabouts at four placings between then. If I think back to his win in the to his run in the Kevin Heffernan in the spring, you'd be forgiven for thinking it was a win. I still can't believe how he got beaten that day. He was sort of head in front before and after the post. But the horse has been in good shape. We've kept him up to the mark, and he's got a lot of straight track experience from his racing overseas. And it continues to show whenever we run the horse up the straight, he always performs so well. And great to see him win again by three quarters of a length to the horse that beat him two starts ago. Great again. Look, he's got that bit of winning form about him now, and I'd like to think that he can keep it up.
This is the start, effectively, of the spring in both Melbourne and Sydney. What are the likely targets for Home of the Brave now that you've got him down here in Victoria?
Well, we haven't locked anything in right now, but to me, the Bobby Lewis would be a nice race to keep him on the fresh side and give him another look up the straight. The best thing about yesterday from Team Godolphin's perspective was to see that the stables were firing on all cylinders, and despite the difficulty of managing an interstate stable, the boys in Melbourne were able to saddle up four of the races and lead in three winners. And the horse that was defeated was just probably beaten by a better horse when Laburnum went down by less than two lengths to Coming Around. So the systems are really coming together well, and there's lots of good communication and all the critical ingredients that we need to ensure they're successful are seeming to me to be in to be in full effect, and that's a big confidence booster at the beginning of what is going to be a long spring.
Fatigues was your other winner at Flemington. You referenced how well Laburnum ran as well, just being beaten by Coming Around. Fatigues got a much more economical run than he was able to secure at his most recent start. How did you assess his performance?
I liked the run. I thought that he was only just staying with them and on touch on the bridle in the early part. The pace in a small field was seemingly, therefore, pretty honest. The margin in the end was that he was able to get up by half a length because he just kept surging late. And that's the fatigue that we were quite confident could turn up and perform. He's not a brilliant customer, but he has something, that horse. He's got something of a deep finish, and I think that can take him somewhere. Just exactly where from here on in would remain to be seen. I don't think he's a Caulfield Guineas horse, but I'd like to think that he could pick the eyes out of the low-hanging fruit if it's this preparation in his first, or perhaps we put him away and consider that he's got a lot of improving to do for next time. But I like the horse. He produced somewhat of a rare double. You don't between Rosehill and Flemington, the Broodmare Clothing was able to produce two winners, and Talier is out of the same mare as Fatigue. So, you know, something of a nod to the something of a nod to the skill of the boys at Woodlands who reared these horses that one broodmare would have gotten an extra special pat this morning, I'm sure.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sure she would have been a proud mum, and the team at home would have been very proud as well. You were the punter's pal with Michael Falgate yesterday morning, James. I think you labelled Home of the Brave as your best at metropolitan level, and certainly were pointing the punters towards Choir at Mowi, whose form entwines with Alcyone. What did you make of his win taking on the older horses in maiden grade?
Well, he did what he's a promising little accomplishment to achieve in beating the older horses at such a young age. He settled about 10 or 15 lengths off the lead in the early stages and was ridden like a stayer. he kept coming home. You know, I thought he got nice, a really nice card into the race off the horse ahead of him, and that helped him for an immature stayer as he is. But he's very promising to Yafilo colt once over ground, and we like the fact that he's delivering. Is he classy enough for a Derby? Well, it remains to be seen, but he would certainly be worth a nomination, and we could steer him towards races like the Geelong Derby Trial to be keeping us interested in that race. Some have suggested perhaps he's our St Ledger horse for next year. It would be great if he could be measuring up to any of these lofty targets.
Mentioned his form intertwines with Alcyone, who's had a break since they last were at the races together. What's the latest with Alcyone?
He's back in training. He looks great. I don't know where he's put all his extra condition that he's put on, because he looks fit and well. He's just enjoyed a little bit of a reprieve down by the Billabong there at Northwood Park, and hopefully ready to get into gear when those good staying 3-year-old classics come around, because he certainly looks a promising horse. The win of Choir just goes further to vindicate the form that Alcyone possesses.
Your runner in the feature race in Sydney yesterday was Flit, who was first up. Eduardo was very well supported, and perhaps with race fitness and the 1200 metre edge was too sharp for the field yesterday. What did you make of Flit's performance running second?
I thought Flitz was a solid seasonal return. She was beaten a length and a half by a race fit horse who was taking advantage of the set weights and penalties conditions of the Missile Stakes for the first time. Normally this race is run at weight for age, and Flitz would have been far better in. Nonetheless, she was a little bit slow away with the blinkers on first up, and when you lose ground against Eduardo, who hit the ground running and forced to chase a long way out on that track, I mean, those tracks are so bad that the horses are really, really needing to be in peak fitness to be performing close to their best. And a Flit was looming up like a nice chance there at the furlong, but condition gave out, and no doubt she'll improve from that. I think the way Joe Pride's got Eduardo going is very interesting, and I'd be a little nervous bumping into him wherever he's going now, because he's got that winning look about him, doesn't he?
He does, and he'd already shown that talent, obviously, down here early in his career, and seems to have come solid with a new environment later in his career. Where does Flit head to now?
Well, we haven't decided that exactly just yet. There are a number of options, and I don't mind the idea of keeping her to sprint distances at all this preparation. But, look, the thing about her is she's already a Group 1 winner. She's got the big performance in her to produce something. So we'd like to be aiming at a solid race where she can make the most of a good preparation. Because I've got the feeling she's in for one. But look, it was hard chasing home Eduardo. I think Eduardo might have placed in the same open plate that Encryption placed in back when that year, maybe Booker won it. I think the form will be all right out of that race yesterday. I mean, look at Melody Bell. Melody Bell couldn't even run a place there, and we know what a good horse she is.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to confirm that. I think you may well be right, just trying to look up Eduardo's previous form. I suppose the challenge, and you mentioned it was a good day for the broodmare, the challenge for Tayur is now to try and add some black type to that impressive form card that she's building. How do you go about that?
Well, the challenge has been there for Talia for a while, because we've been quite high in our estimation of where she might get to, and the expectations were coming thick and fast. But Talia is just coming along at her own steam at the moment. She ended the race meeting yesterday as a rating of 70 horse. She was rather well placed in a benchmark 78. So, you know, we've got to keep our feet on the ground. She's only beating Minted and McCormack there. She wasn't taking on the better horses on the day. And nonetheless, she did it well. She was really announcing herself. The key with Talia, in my opinion, would be to keep bringing her through her grades. And once that autumn carnival rolls around next year, she probably has the experience under her belt to be matching it in races with more depth and more pressure than the races she's been running in so far.
You're absolutely correct about the Oakley Plate in 2019, Booker beating both Encryption and Eduardo. So your memory was correct there. You passed the cognitive test, James. Your A team down here in Melbourne, Viridine probably forms a little bit of a part of that, and taking out the Bletchingley Stakes last start. So he's listed for a jump out at Flemington tomorrow. Have you decided where you might head with Viridine yet?
Yeah, we like the look of the McEwen Stakes for that horse, and it'll be interesting to see how well he freshens up from his win in the Bletchingley. The race is attractive for a number of reasons, but he will have to run a good race at Moonee Valley to prove that he's capable of getting around the circuit. So that would be interesting to see.
And a couple of runners for the team at Bendigo today in amateurish, in both going around in the same race. Have you got a leaning towards the two of the team heading to Bendigo today?
Well, look, I think the two of them are quite rightly difficult to split by the market, and that's the way we would see them. Every time we gallop them together, it would not be a struck match between them. It will really come down to how that track is playing and what sort of runs they get in the race. But I think if you like either of them, there's absolutely no reason not to follow them closely.
Amateurish and Unblushing going around in the second at Bendigo today. Great day for the team yesterday, James. Great day for the broodmare clothing, and great day for the Cummings family. I'm sure both father and grandfather would have been proud of your achievement in a race that's been pretty much entwined with the Cummings family history over the years.
Thanks, Warren. Very kind. Appreciate it.
James Cummings there. Good day for Godolphin yesterday.